Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs with me, Giles Bidder. It's the podcast where we hear from artists about their unfiltered experiences. We just come back from Liverpool Sound City, had an awesome time seeing so many bands and artists. That's the magic of these festivals. You turn up, there's loads going on, you never know exactly what you're going to see, but you'll always stumble upon something that you'll add straight to your playlist and jam as soon as you get back home. being in the north of England and seeing bands from up there is a special experience. Thank you to Sound City for having us. Thank you to Modern Sky. Thanks to Virgin Music Group. We had a great time. We've got loads of interviews coming up. I've had to split them up into different episodes. We've done so many. Coming up right now, it's the Edinburgh singer Brooke Combe writing her next album now. We caught up with her just outside Grand Central, a gorgeous venue in Liverpool. So here's my chat with Brooke, followed by the brilliant Home Counties, exciting band, just released their manic new record, Exactly As It Seems. And then we'll be hearing from the lottery winners, currently writing the follow-up to their number one album, Anxiety Replacement Therapy. So here we go. 101 part-time
jobs. Hi, I'm Brooke Combe and you're listening to 101 part-time jobs.
Brooke Combe, 101 part-time jobs.
Hello, hello, how are we?
Very, very good. Liverpool's a fun city, isn't it?
Very fun, especially when the sun's out.
Really, I'm feeling warm.
Me too, and I've got this coat on for no reason, but...
The thing is, you look tough with it. Everyone looks tough with a coat.
You've got to keep it for the look. Always for the look.
I've never got the look. Were you fashionable as a kid?
No.
Did you want to be fashionable?
I was quite a tomboy, if you can't tell. But I literally was kicking about in like trackies all the time. So
comfortable.
Always comfort. I was always climbing trees and that, you know what I mean?
So. I don't think it's a tenuous link to say that your music brings a lot of comfort.
Mm.
Does it come from comfort place for you? Like when you're writing a
discomfort,
song?
Discomfort, probably.
Discomfort.
What the songs are based on, I'd probably say it comes from a place of discomfort more than comfort, but I get that it makes other people feel comfort, you know what I mean?
There's that funny thing that when you hear a song and it is about pain, there's someone out there feeling pain.
It's a relatable aspect of it, isn't it? And we've all been there. We all know what it's like to feel those emotions. So, yeah, I get it. Like
making that a job, you know, making that the most important thing in your life, like prioritising that, you know, alongside family and the other important things in life, but having that discipline of being a songwriter, what's your journey with that been? I mean, when did you start thinking, okay, I need to write a little bit every day, or I need to sort of put myself in the kind of position where I allow myself to open up to these songs?
Well, I think at first, when I started first actually songwriting, I think it was only in like 2016. And I was just doing it for fun, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which gave me songs like Are You With Me and A-Game. But now I've just finished my album, finished recording in Kempston Street. And the way I sort of viewed that writing process was completely different. I'd done the album with my boyfriend, so it was quite a fun experience. I'm always like banging on about the fact I'm not part of a band as such.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like it's quite a lonely journey at times.
Big time.
And I like to bounce ideas off of people, and that's just who I am. Whether that be mates or friends or family, whatever. But yeah, so we did it, and we were just like, let's just try and write every day, see what we come up with.
And you worked well as a team. I mean, as a couple, you worked together as a team in some respects, but to be work together as a team in that, that's kind of a different story.
Don't get me wrong, there was some testing moments.
It's
real life, exactly. And it's like when you're talking about such vulnerable things, especially experiences you haven't experienced with one another, you know what I mean? It can get a little bit awkward, but in the name of songwriting, it's all worth it. So
songwriting comes first.
Absolutely. I
think that's it. And you know, talking about relationships, and we get to that age where it's like, of course we've had our own lives. You don't want to hide that, because that kind of becomes
100%
a bad feeling in the end. You've got to be transparent.
I think I'm always like that. I'm a big talker, love to chat, love to get things off my chest, and I have quite bad anxiety, and it's just a way I cope. So maybe that is why the songs come across that way as well. I'm like an open book in that respect, I think.
Working with Modern Sky and being in Liverpool and having such a really cool that crowd around you, could you open up to them
away? It's 100%. They are like family to me at this point. I was saying that this morning, as much as we have very hard times and we're like that at each other's necks, honestly, I view them as one big family. Like today, we've just walked, we've arrived at the venue, everybody knows everybody, we're all hugging and
that's
whatever.
Sweet.
So it's class. Like,
what was your most memorable Sound City moment?
So I think it was the second year that I was doing Sound City. The first year I had to cancel, I was sick. So the second year, which was technically my first year, I'd done two sets in the one day. I think EBGB's and Arts Club. Just the sweatiest day of my entire life.
Cool venue. I've never been to a city where there's so many venues.
Oh, it's I'm from Edinburgh, right? And it's like, obviously, it's a gorgeous city. There's loads of amazing architecture and buildings. But like, in terms of music venues, we lack. So coming to somewhere like this and you just see every second door is just a new music venue opening up. It's class.
I'm so interested in that fact. I mean, the school that I went to and the place I grew up with, and even like my family who are really open-minded, the idea of starting a band is a bit like, oh, you're starting a band, are you? Is it going to be shite? You know, I feel like in this these kinds of areas, it allows you, it's like if everyone plays music, that's the best thing.
I actually find it mad. Like, I still come to Liverpool every other week and there's always live music to watch somewhere in the city. And it does make you feel a lot, obviously, more connected to that side of who you are.
Brooke, what was your most memorable job?
I'm going to be completely honest with you, and this is going to sound bizarre, but before doing this, I've only ever had one job.
That's all right. It means you're dedicated. It means they liked you enough so they didn't fire you.
Well, exactly. I worked at a trampoline park. I know, so, and it sounds fun. It was fun because I met all my best mates there that are still my mates today, but honestly, like, it was there that I was like, I'm going to have to do music. Like, I couldn't even work the tills just for anxieties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was just, which is ironic that I stand on a stage in front of thousands of people, but.
Well, is it a lot of songwriters have that? Well, like, we know
Totally. I mean, we were just standing in that circle and I was like, I'm getting overwhelmed already. But it's part of it, isn't it? It's all good. It's all love.
Brooke, 101 part-time jobs. Love chatting with you. Love hearing your stories. Just to end with, what's like the most important part of your journey?
I think for me, just based off of what's happened in the past with major labels and things like that.
What happened in the past?
Well, it was one of them, like, when you sign to a label, you sort of think, like, oh, this is, you know, going to be the be-all and end-all. And you end up putting a lot of pressure on yourself, especially at that time when I was signed. I didn't know who I was or my identity as an artist was.
Big question.
Exactly. So now, to answer your question, the most important thing for me is always staying true to myself. Because I did that with the label and they basically turned around and were like, we can't help you. You know what I mean?
And that's a good thing.
For me,
that you went separate ways.
100%. I'm not jumping through hoops for somebody else, for somebody else's life. I'm the one living it. I'm the one getting up on stage. I'm singing those songs.
You're going to have to deal with it at
exactly,
the end
of the day. Exactly. And I want to have fun with that. Do you know what I mean? So no pressure. I'm only 24.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got everything ahead of you.
Exactly.
I bet you're sick of hearing that. But
nah,
it's true.
It's true. I believe that. It's a realistic fact. I believe it. So, nah, 100%.
Saw you yesterday. It was such a lovely crowd up at the Arts Club.
Class. So generous.
What was your biggest Liverpool memory?
Maybe just arriving for the first time.
Right? At Sound City?
No, in Liverpool.
In the city?
In the city, yeah. And, like, I drove in with my dad, and I remember saying to him, I'm going to be here a lot. I feel it. And I just connected with the city, like, instantly as I drove into it. So, yeah, it's a special one.
Great. Brooke, thanks so much.
Yes, mate.
101
nice
part-time job.
Hello, we're Home Cammies, and you're listening to 101 part-time jobs.
All right, Home Counties, 101 part-time jobs.
Hello.
Nardwa, you couldn't help it. Liverpool's about maybe the furthest you can get without going into Scotland from the home counties.
Yep. It took us a while to get here. Just for this show as well, we're starting our tour in Manchester on Tuesday.
Quality.
But it would have been two nights booking accommodation if we went home. So we're doing it in one day.
So you're going back home tonight?
Yeah.
Is that kind of, who's the driver?
Not me.
Or me. Yeah. Thank God.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. I don't know, one of them.
New record. How are you feeling about it? It's always kind of a mad... I don't think many people talk about how you spend so long making a record and then it's like, boosh. Yep. What's the best way to deal with that and not be overwhelmed by it?
I don't know. It is just very overwhelming. It's just so crazy how it takes so long and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's out. It's out now.
I think especially because we like sort of... We like Connor, the guitarist, produced it.
Right.
So we were very much all involved with it on a very it wasn't like we just went in for a couple of weeks. It was recorded over a year. So it was very much a part of our lives for a very long time. After work, we'd go into the studio in Hackney and record it in the evening when studio time was cheap. So it was very much a part of our lives for a long time.
101 part-time jobs. Most people play music. have jobs. You don't hear about it so much. You play music, you kind of know that there's not much money in it anyway, but at the same time you have these big highs and lows. Have you talked to each other much about that and kind of how to set expectations, I suppose, and like allow yourself to have fun whilst knowing that sometimes you've got to do 8 hours of something you really don't want to do?
Yeah, it can be a bit of a logistical nightmare with like a six-piece band, and then we all have our own jobs and things outside of that. So it's like, okay, in the group chat, we're all like, who's free on Tuesday? And it's just whoever can show up. Like, all right, we'll do you today, and then we'll do someone else tomorrow.
That's dedication.
Yeah, but it's great fun, and like once you're there, it's like, okay, this is gonna be sick. Yeah, we love it.
There aren't many people that do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that have that kind of dedication, that have that kind of like, yeah, well, we're gonna do it. Needs must, however it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
And you've been a band for a few years now. How high do you like set the bar of like what you want to do with this record? Do you even think about what you want to do, or is it a case of just making the record and touring it?
Yeah, no, I don't think we don't set expectations. You disappoint yourself, I think. But like, yeah, it was just like making the record. It was just getting the record over the line, which was such a big thing. It was just like, we must make this. And we finally did it, and now it's like, fuck, like... Like, what are we doing now? Yeah, it's totally with the album as well. It's like, definitely. It needs to get mixed in like 2 days. Yeah. And it's like, we suddenly were like, well, maybe this song should be completely different, actually. And it's like, no, yeah, no, it can't be. We're doing it how it is.
What are the jobs that you're working?
I do admin at the Royal Academy of Music.
Yeah, classical. But,
it's classical. I have no fucking idea what's going on. I get people like playing the double bass coming up to me like, ask me about concertos and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, totally, man.
That's good practice, that is.
Yeah.
I work in music PR for an electronic music PR company.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's great fun because they're very understanding about all the band stuff, so they're like very, it's amazing. I don't know how I've managed to land it just before tour, so yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Good, so you just got the job just before tour?
Oh no, so I've had the job a while, but they're just amazing. They're like, okay, it's all good, you're gonna go do your music, we understand that. And I'm like, thank you so much for awesome. Like letting me take 2 weeks off to go tour around with the band, so yeah, it's great.
Same with mine, it's like, it helps it being in the music world. Because like my last job, I worked at a school. I was the attendance officer. Which is like makes no fucking sense.
You can't start with that one.
And I was the head teacher, like he had gone, he was like, I think his like wife was involved with PR in the mid 2000s. So I'd always ask for time off, and no one gave time off. And I'd be like, he'd be like, well, yeah. I remember being backstage at Razorlight in 05. And then he'd be like, of course, you're going to have 2 weeks off.
What a touch.
Yeah.
You just got to hope that you meet like-minded people. I'm a big part of the reason I started this and wanted to ask people, other people about their experiences, is because every job I had was just kind of shite. And I was like, this is, what is this? You know, there's got to be more to life than this.
Yeah.
Especially in our generation where you get 16 or 18 and you leave school. And you can go traveling if you work at Waitrose for a year.
Yeah.
Or you could do this and that. And it's actually quite hard to know what to do if you haven't been like handed a good idea or met that right person or had that English teacher that's inspired you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah. It is crazy. Like, if you can't, trying to figure it all out is just mad. Like, you're like, I really, really want to do this. But at the same time, I have to pay my rent and I have to like pay all the bills and I have to like feed myself all at once. But at the same time, it's like, but I want to be in the band. So yeah. I'm just going to...
And it's always like you worry about it so much, and then as soon as you go on tour, you're like, this is so much better than anything else.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then all your fucking anxieties and fears like completely washed away by just like the experience of being on tour.
Big time. And same for people who go to those shows. When I go to a show, that's what I want from a night out. It's like, oh, that's what it's worth it. That's
yeah, we did a little live stream on Instagram, like practicing. We did a stripped back set for our release show party in Third Man in London. And there was this guy on the comments when we were doing our practice live stream, and he was like, I really want to come to the kind of show, but I've got my GCSEs in the morning. And it's like,
go on, lad.
Fuck your GCSEs. You can reset them. So there's different, everyone's got other shit going on, but everyone makes it work for the music.
What do you know about Sound City and Liverpool? You've been here before? Have you played here before?
This is our first time playing in Liverpool.
How do you find it so far?
It was great. That was great. It was sweaty. It was hot as well.
We had a chance to walk around and see how primal it is.
We've walked from the car park up there to here. But I've been to Liverpool a few times.
It's loud. Everyone's got a guitar.
Yeah, and everyone's so fucking lovely. Like,
people don't. It's not like that in Wickham, or Watford, or anywhere like that.
No, it seems like there's a good vibe going on.
All right, 101 part-time jobs. What's the biggest mistake that you've made at your job? What's the biggest work
job?
Gaff.
I'm in charge of like finance in my job, and I once like paid someone like 500 quid to the wrong person. I was like kind of new, so I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna lose my job. It was okay, I managed. It was one of those things where you manage to fix it before you have to tell anyone about it. So I'd like managed to get on, slide under the radar before I got into loads of trouble.
Better to ask for forgiveness.
I once at my school job accidentally forwarded a very secretive email to the person that it was about, just because I was like mind numb, like I was like, just forward it to them. And I was like, oh my God, this is so bad. I rang the guy in the IT department and I was like, you need to delete this email. Like, there's some way. And he was like, well, actually, GDPR rules, you can't do this. I'm like, no, you're fucking doing it. And he did. So it was fine. So I escaped.
You know, yeah. You know about the GDPR rules. There's a music PR. You can't be naughty anymore and just steal people's emails.
No, not at all. You have to be very careful. People get very cross.
Thanks so much. Excellent band. Thanks for chatting with me.
No, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. Liverpool's great. We'll be back.
Yeah, we'll definitely be back.
We are the lottery winners, and you are listening or watching to 101 Part-Time Jobs with my mate called Giles.
All right, it's 101 Part-Time Jobs, and we're here with the lottery winners.
Boom. Hello. Where are we?
Liverpool.
Sound City, in front of a wall of grass.
Right, what's your history of Liverpool as a band? You got signed here by the late Seymour Stein.
We did.
That's an amazing story that people have told before, but why don't you say it? Because he was in the back of the room when you were playing. It was a smallish show.
Yeah, why don't you say it?
Well, I said, the lottery winners were playing a gig, and there's 10 people there, and one of them was a man who had great taste. But yeah. I mean, being signed, you know, when you come back here, is there a feeling of like, fuck yeah, this has got good memories?
I do like it. I do like Liverpool Sound City, and kind of every year we've played, there's been like something that's really helped our career. So we signed with Seymour here, he discovered us here, and like, yeah, and our label are based here, and yeah, it's all really nice, isn't it? Like, it feels like a bit of a... like a staff do,
yeah.
I think, when we come here, because we don't get invited to the real ones.
Who's the HR department?
Yeah, I don't know, but I need to speak to him about the way I'm bullied by these lot.
You know, one of these festivals are a reminder that there's so much you can do as a band. There's so many people, so many different avenues, places you could go. Do you get overwhelmed by that?
I do personally get overwhelmed by almost everything. I'm overwhelmed right now, but...
How do you deal with that? Because, I mean, I think it's a valid question that a lot of artists are going through. It's like... It is overwhelming. So how do you make sense of that?
I just feel like you just have to really focus on your own thing, don't you? And like, I used to get really bogged down about, I'll be honest now, I used to get jealous and bogged down about what other bands were doing and all the things that were going on around. And it used to really consume me, and I'd be like, why are they on Radio 1 and we're not Radio 1? Why are they playing on that festival and we're not? And then I had this like real conscious decision, like only just worry about the things you can control and just look at your own, like enjoy what you're doing. Like, I was always too scared to enjoy the success because I was afraid of failure. Wow, that got really deep really quick. That's, we were talking about poo like 35 seconds ago.
Welcome to my life. You're not the only one. Every artist is being like, there's something I'm not doing that I could be doing that other people are doing. That's a real life thing, and it feels, and it's good to talk about it because it's a bit of a feeling of shame that comes along with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I do. I feel, and the imposter syndrome, that's real, isn't it? Like, and honestly, I think we're all just sensitive. I think that's the nature of the artist. Do you feel sensitive?
Yeah.
Do you talk about that together?
We do, actually. And we really do. We talk about the way we feel. And
we kind of, I think you say about this, like the fact we have this kind of family mentality where we all kind of spend so much time together and kind of look after each other and absorb the problems and them feelings together, in a way.
Yeah. Everything that we deal with as a foursome.
Because it starts and ends with you. You've done it, Dirty. Dirty.
Ready. Sorry for doing that.
Saw that t-shirt down the road. Liverpool is a bit naughty like that, isn't it?
It's a nice, Liverpool, it's like, cheeky.
You had that number one record.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
You're writing the new one now.
Yeah, that's
what's
hard.
The feeling around it? What's the feeling? What are the songs about? What kind of place are you in with it?
It's pressure, isn't it? A little bit. We've got like a... Yes, that's Ryan! Hi, Ryan! That's Ryan from Jeremiah Ferrari. You should check them out. They're a great band.
It's Dave Grohl.
And Chris.
In the passenger seat.
Oh, yeah. No, that was Lars Ulrich from Metallica. He's a big fan.
Have you written down lines? How do you write lyrics?
I'm on my notes app. and I constantly do it. I was just watching Red Rum Club at the Grand Central. Amazing songs, by the way. Oh, we're talking about songs. Just such a great band. And I wrote like three lines. And when I say wrote, I stole three. No, I didn't. Whilst watching them, they inspired me. Yeah, very inspiring band. Them. I like them a lot.
All right, final question. Lottery winners, 101 part-time jobs. What's the worst part-time job you've had?
Exam invigilator.
A cleaner, cleaning poo off the floor.
Pound stretcher, that was awful.
I worked Claire's Accessories. I was.
He makes it cool. He says he was.
I was an ear piercing specialist. I wasn't. I was just one of the girls behind the counter.
Love that. 101 part-time jobs, lottery winners, Sound City 24.
Thank you, Giles. I like you.
So that was Brooke Combe, Home Counties and the Lottery Winners. You're listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs. These are my chats from Liverpool Sound City 24 over the weekend. I'm going to finish with a clip from one of my favourite discoveries from Sound City. This is Fraulein with Feels Like Flying Day from their new EP Pruning, which is out everywhere now. Stick around for more episodes today from when I spoke with Crawlers, Anthony Smerick, The Mysterines and more exciting, interesting artists from the weekend. Walking to you feels like I'm flying. Walking to you feels like I'm crying. Arms outstretched, I hop all the crowd. 101 Part-Time Jobs is hosted by Giles Bidder and produced by me, Olivia Swash. This has been a Mighty Moon Media production.
Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.